We're looking at a series that we've called, that I've called Your New Life in Christ. And I believe this is our 9th installment. So that's what we've been doing for a few weeks now. Now, the background to this series is just to bring to our hearts that, look, when we become Christians, when we become born again, there's so much that God has done in our lives. There's so much that God has provided for us to live this new life. But I think what happens a lot of the times is we become Christians, we become born again, and life just carries on as usual. And it appears as if nothing has changed. It appears as if you're still the same person. It appears as if the only thing that has happened is that you said yes to Christ. But what the Bible tells us is that God has done so much and He has provided so much for us. Do you understand? And it's for us now to go on this journey with God to discover day by day, week by week, these things that God has provided for us. So that's what we've been looking at. We looked at a number of things, but today we're focusing on praying. So we started this prayer one last week. And what I called it is the privilege of prayer. The privilege of prayer. So we started that last week. So I'll recap. Last week I said, what is prayer? We looked at prayer, what prayer is. We looked at a dictionary meaning, and we said prayer in this context is communicating with God. All right? Communicating with God. We looked at a number of things. We looked at what is prayer. We looked at the focus of prayer. And under the focus of prayer, I said that we can, again, this is my own little classification here. We can focus can be directed towards God, as in we're having a conversation with God. Prayer can be directed about us, that is praying about ourselves. And the third one was praying for other people. So that's where we left it off last week. Now, today I'm just going to look at a number of things continuing from the privilege of prayer. Now, I've got like a little, I put the topic here, but I just crossed out that topic a bit. And the topic I had before in continuing with this was praying effectively. But I said to myself this morning, I don't want to make it seem like a 10-step thing to prayer, to say 10 steps to get your prayers answered, 20 steps to pray powerful prayers. So I crossed that heading out because I don't want us to have that mindset that there is this step-by-step formula thing with God. There isn't. Do you understand what I mean? So instead, I've called it considerations for prayer. Now, the way I see God is really very simple. God is a person. Now, He's not a human being, but He's a person. He has feelings. He gets upset sometimes with certain things. So He's a person. So if we approach God as if He's some sort of like mechanical engineering person, I don't think He would really appreciate that. So if I came, for example, to our brother here, sorry, you're in front, so you're just going to bear the brunt today. And I said, okay, let's assume I'm, you know, we're talking about prayer, and prayer is communication here, but directed towards God. And I want to communicate with Him more effectively. Maybe previously I never really used to talk to Him, but now I came to the church and I had this message saying, God is a person, let's speak with God. And I say effective ways of prayer. And he says, fantastic. I say, fantastic. And I go to him, I said, and he says, oh, how are you doing? Let's assume my name is John. My name isn't, by the way. Let's assume my name is John. And I just come to my brother here and I said, I've learned effective ways of prayer. And I say, number one, 7 steps. And I'm like, the first step is stamp your feet. And what he's trying to do? He's trying to like communicate with me. He's saying, how are you, John? I hope your day has been fine. And I'm like, no, that's not it. That doesn't fall within the 7 steps. You are missing it. So please excuse me. Stamp my feet. What's the next one? Say hallelujah 3 times. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Do you understand? It sounds a bit funny, doesn't it? You see, that's the same way that it works when we say things like 7 steps to get your breakthrough. I mean, what does that mean? Do you understand what I mean? What does that really mean? Do you get what I mean? Now, I'm not putting, you can have as many steps as you want. You get what I mean? But what I'm just saying is that, look, let us approach God as a person. Let us treat him that way. Do you understand? So, obviously, we'll look at a number of things, and I've called them considerations for prayer. And the reason I'm making this point, so to speak, is so that we don't have the mindset that this is some sort of like 7 or 6 step formula. No. What I'm saying here, or what I'm about to say, is things for us to consider within this context of our new life. All right? So that's what I mean when I'm saying I don't want us to like put it into like a formula kind of thing. So we'll look at a number of things today about praying to God, about praying for other people as well. Do you understand? So the first thing that we want to look at is the fact that when we approach God when we want to pray to God, there's something that we need to realize. What we need to realize and bear in mind is that God really wants to hear from you, and that God actually wants to answer you. Let's look at Jeremiah chapter 33, verse 3. Jeremiah chapter 33, verse 3. The Bible says something there. It says, "Call to me and I will answer you, and I will tell you great and unsearchable things that you do not know." So the first thing we want to bear in mind is that we're not approaching a God who is distant. We're not approaching a God who's saying, "I'm busy today. Come back tomorrow. Maybe I'll be in a better mood." No. God is waiting for us to communicate with him. And he says here in Jeremiah chapter 33, verse 3, that call out to me and I will answer you. Not only that, I will show you and tell you great and unsearchable things that you do not know. So why is it important that we have this at the back of our mind? Well, it's important that we have this at the back of our minds because if we don't, we might think that we're approaching a God that is just not interested in listening to us. He's not even interested in us. Do you understand what I mean? So it's important that we bear it in mind that, look, God really wants to hear from you and I. God wants to answer you. Do you understand? So that's the first thing that we need to see about that. Now, still about the fact that God wants to hear from you. If you look at Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16, the Bible begins to tell us something there as well. It says, "Let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in our time of need." So the other thing is this, still in the context of the fact that God wants to hear from you. It's not enough that you believe that God wants to answer your prayers or God wants to respond to you. God also says we should come with an attitude of confidence. Do you understand? So there's no point you going before God, or we're going before God, and it's like, "Oh God, I don't know if you're going to answer me today because I wasn't nice to my neighbor. I said, you know, God." No, if you were not nice to your neighbor, apologize and leave that behind. Do you get what I mean? True. Apologize. Say, "Look, I'm sorry, God. This is what I did." Some people are looking at one another. Did someone do something wrong to their neighbor? No. So what I'm saying is this. Look, let's leave that behind and come before God confidently. And, you know, Jesus said something about the faith. He said, when we come and we approach him and we approach the faith, we should do that as little children. As little children. Do you understand? We have a few kids here in the church. Many more are coming. It seems like they're going to be manufacturing quite a few over the next few years. But we have some here. There's one asleep at the back. And you know what? Whether it's pastor that is preaching, whether even if the prime minister came and he was speaking here or whatever, some of those guys at the back, they'll just go, "Okay, look. My mom is there. Who's playing keyboard there? My mom. Pastor is preaching. Everybody's preaching. It doesn't matter. All I want is my mom." And what do? Bounce out. And whether you're there, is their mom they want. Confidence. I'm not looking in any direction, by the way. This is just an analogy. You get what I mean? So what am I saying here? I mean, if you smack them like 2 seconds before, as long as that episode is over, they've forgotten about it. Do you understand what I mean? God wants us to come to Him in prayer with an expectation that, look, I really want to hear from you. So it's important that we come to God with this kind of perspective. Now, am I saying we should take God for granted and just, you know, no, I'm not saying that. But I'm just saying that, look, God knows you, God knows me, and He wants you and I to come to Him confidently. All right? So that's the first attitude that we want to go to God with. Now, the next thing as well is this, and that's from Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 18. Ephesians chapter 2 verse 18. Now, last week we were saying, why do we have access to God? Why can we come to God so freely? Is it because of anything that we've done? Is it because of any special, you know? No. The Bible says that for anyone that comes before God, it is because we have given our hearts to Christ. And the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 2 verse 18 that it says, for through Him we both have access to the Father by one Spirit. So the thing that gives you and I access to God is Christ. The fact that Christ paid the price for our sins. The fact that Christ has cleansed us, not because of anything that we have done, not because of anything that we are doing. Do you understand? But just because of Christ. Do you understand? And the Bible tells us that, look, we have access to God because of Christ by one Spirit. All right? So what am I saying here? So this point I'm making is the attitude that we should come to God with, because we have access, not because of anything we've done, because He wants us to come boldly before Him. And He wants to answer us. He wants to hear from us. All right? So that's one of the considerations I'll say for praying. Now, the next one I want to look at is from the book of John chapter 14, verse 13. John chapter 14, verse 13. It says here that when we pray and we're asking God for something, we pray in the name of Jesus. And it says, and I will do whatever you ask in my name so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. Do you understand? So the second thing we consider here is this, that we have a name, the Bible says, that is above every other name. And when we pray in that name, God says He will do whatever it is we've asked in His name. But I'm going to put a PS there. God's not, you're not going to go to God and say, can you please kill my neighbor who's been on, you know, no, He's not going to do that. So it has any limitations. Otherwise, a lot of people might be dead by now. So God's not going to do that. Do you understand what I mean? Did I say something funny? So God's not going to do that. But what He's saying is this. We have the name of Jesus. And as we call upon that name, He says He will do what it is that we're asking according to His will. So that's the second consideration that we have. Now, the other thing as well, or the third thing is this. When we pray, we want to pray based on the Word of God. Now, if we look at 1 John chapter 5, verse 14, 1 John chapter 5 and verse 14, it says something there. It says, this is the confidence that we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. Now, what does this mean? This means that when we pray, and like I said, you know, what I alluded to earlier, when we pray, according as long as it's according to God's will, it says, we can be confident that He hears us. Do you understand? So He wants us to know that, look, if you're not quite sure if God's going to answer you or not, just look in the Bible. Everything that the Bible says about you is God's will for you. So as long as it's God's will for you, job done. Do you understand? That's the third thing that we're looking at. Now, the fourth thing that we're looking at here is this. God has given us a prayer language. And if you look at 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 14, this is the fourth thing. 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 14. It says, for if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my mind is unfruitful. Now, what does this mean? Now, if you're not a charismatic, if you're like a proper, you know, none of this, you know, charismatic business, then you might be a bit uncomfortable with this, as I was a number of years ago. I remember in my uni days, I wasn't a Christian then. Some of my sisters were, I had a couple of friends who were Christians. And I remember quite clearly on campus then, they'd be like, do you want to come to one of our Christian meetings? You know, it'll be good for you. And I'd be like, you know what? You go, I stay. See you later. And one of the reasons why I never went to those meetings was because I passed by one of the meetings on one of those days and I heard people praying in a strange language. I was like, my goodness, what is happening here? And they were praying. I was like, so I said, you know what? This is weird, I tell you. I said, this is properly weird. What are you guys saying? You're just, I'm sure what you're saying is even fake. But that was in those days, before I became a super charismatic myself. So, and that was what I thought. Then I became a Christian. I became born again in 1996. I was just trying to say, hang on. Yeah. And do you know what happened? I walked into a church and it was a Sunday and before then I had made up my mind I would never go to church again. My parents had forced me to go to church all these years. Enough of that. Never. So I just said, once I leave home, leave uni, I can get a place of my own. Job done. And that's what I did. So one Sunday I was like in bed. I was like, you know what? Let me just, it's Sunday, I'm not doing anything, just loafing around by myself. I'll just walk into this church. So I did, you know, got dressed and I went, just strolled in. And this preacher was preaching. And he explained Christ to me. I said, incredible, what is this? And my eyes opened and I became born again. And I was so excited. I was like, man, this is fantastic. So I went to every meeting. The next Sunday I was there. Then I said, okay, you know what, guys? You guys have become Christians now. We have like a 4-week program for you. So, you know, to introduce you to the Bible and so on and so forth. I said, I'm for it. Sign me up. I went for the first one. Wow, nice. Went for the second one. Nice. Third one. The fourth one. I went there. I said, is this the last one? They said, yes. They gave us, you know, all the things. I don't remember what they said exactly. All I knew was that I was excited. At the end, then I said, okay, you know what we're going to do now? We're going to pray and that you'll be filled with the Holy Spirit and you start praying in tongues. And I looked to the left, to the right. No escape. I said, yeah, because at this point, I still thought it was like properly where. No escape. I said, well, I'm in this one anyway. Let's see how it goes. And to my utter amazement, they said, okay, if you want to be baptized in the Holy Ghost and you want to, you know, pray in tongues, just ask that God will baptize you. And I said, okay, I'll go along. I did that. And, you know, to my amazement, I was baptized in the Holy Spirit and I started praying in tongues. And it was, you know, it's different when somebody else is, you know, speaking. You're like, oh, man, that's like, you know, that could be like a... But when it's now you, different ballgame. I said, this is incredible. This is fantabulous. So that's what happened. But why am I giving us the background to the story? I'm saying that there's something that God has also given us. And it's called praying in tongues. Now, what that does for us is that it takes our prayers beyond our mind. So, say for example, I want to pray for someone in Afghanistan or something. You know, maybe they send a brother here on a missionary journey with his wife and the young boy. Say, go, you guys are going to start a church in Afghanistan. Don't worry, we'll support you from here. Mom and Dad will send you like proper nappies and stuff to make sure you guys are well, you know, in full supply. And he's over there and I want to pray for him. You know, I could say, God, bless Brother Josiah, keep him safe, so on and so on. And I'll be done in 2 seconds, I'm done. You know what I mean? Because I'm not there. But I can now switch to praying in tongues. And what does that mean? That's God actually, God who knows everything, God who is everywhere, praying through me. So it might be there, so they might be there, and I'm here, and I'm praying. And as I begin to pray, and because God knows exactly what they need, God's praying through me. He's giving me the words to pray, and I can pray effectively. Do you understand? So maybe then our brother is there, and, you know, he's just about to, okay, I'm just going to let him go for today. But what I'm just saying is that this is a supernatural thing that God has given us so that we can pray beyond our understanding. Do you understand? So this is something that God has given us again or as well. So that's the fourth thing. Now, the last one I want to pray, well, second to the last thing I want to pray, well, I said I want to pray about that, I want to speak about, which is the fourth thing, is, you know, when we're praying, when we're speaking to God, you know, we can speak to God every day. We can speak to God in our minds. I can be walking and I'm, you know, asking God, I'm, you know, speaking to God in my mind, you know, God, what's this about? So we can do that. However, there's something that we need to bear in mind, and particularly when we gather as a body to pray. And I'll look at Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 28. So this is the fifth thing. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 28. It says something. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us be thankful and so worship God acceptably with reverence and awe. So what does this mean? This means that when we pray to God, and particularly as a group, we need to come and we need to pray to God reverently. We need to give him honor. Do you understand what I mean? So what I mean by that is this. Say we're praying to God. We shouldn't be rude to him. And what I mean by that is this. I'm not going to come and say, God, what do you mean by that? I'm not going to. Do you get what I mean? It says, look, God loves us. God wants to communicate with us. He wants us to communicate with him. But God is not your buddy. Do you understand what I mean? God is your friend. So we can't just address him as if he's just like your homeboy. He's not. God's not your homeboy. Do you get what I mean? It sounds a bit funny. Do you know something, right? When Isaiah saw God, there's something that happened to him. I think Isaiah chapter 6. Isaiah had been prophesying, speaking on behalf of God. Then God showed him a vision. When he saw the vision of God, the Bible says he fell down. When he saw the God that he had been praying to, when he saw the God that he had been speaking on behalf of, he said, my goodness, I'm done. Do you understand? That's the God we're talking about here. Now, am I saying we should be scared of God? No. But what I'm saying is that, look, when we pray, let's give God the respect that he deserves. Do you understand? We approach him and we speak to him reverently. All right? So I think what I'm going to do, I'm going to stop there. So today we've looked at considerations for prayer. We've said when we pray, we should come to God, you know, with the expectation that God's going to hear us, he's going to answer our prayers. I've said that we should pray in the name of Jesus because he is the one that has given us the access. The third thing I've said, we should pray based on the will of God, which is we pray things that are, you know, are not out of God's doing. The other thing as well, I said God has given us a supernatural language to pray in tongues, if we can. And the last thing is that when we pray and we come before God, we should come and pray and speak to him and approach him with reverence because he's God. Amen? So I'm going to stop there this morning, and I'm just going to ask that we all rise and we pray.